have quite a few visitors with us this morning, and we're thankful for your presence. Just to kind of get you caught up with what we're doing, we have been studying some major events that we read in the Bible that have shaped the world as we know it. And we're on lesson number 7. And last week we had finished discussing the curse that was put on Israel because of their disobedience to God. And of course, one of the major events that we studied about was the law that God gave the children of Israel and how that shaped the world. And as we discussed this curse put on Israel, of course, we know that they were told that if you obey me, what would happen? You would be greatly blessed. And if you disobey me, you will be cursed. Okay? I want you to know, I didn't have time to finish talking about this last week, but I want you to know that the curse that was put on them was also put on their enemies as well. Many countries that God used to oppose and punish Israel were humbled and brought low. Of course, you know, a lot of those countries, they delighted and had a very smug attitude toward the children of Israel. And they were delighted in taking advantage of them and all the things that happened to them. But God also punished them. And this had a lasting effect on the world. For example, Jeremiah chapter 46 through 51 is a prophecy against several countries in which existed at that time. And many of these countries were changed forever. Okay. And I'll just mention a couple of cases in point. What was Egypt like before this time period? Well, they had been a great world power, hadn't they? Okay. Had lots of influence in the world. But what happened to Egypt after this time period? Well, they began to decline, didn't they? Babylon conquered them, took them over. Nebuchadnezzar took them over, and then different ones after Nebuchadnezzar, then the Chaldeans took them, and then after that, they had different ones that were over them, but they were never the same as they used to be. What about great city of Babylon? What do you know about these people? Well, what happened to Babylon? Totally destroyed. That's right. The great city of Babylon turned into a heap, made desolate forever, and a dwelling place of jackals, the Bible says. Well, I'm not going to take time. This study that we have is not an in-depth study. We call this a macro study. And so we're just kind of getting some of the high points. You know, Israel was chosen not only to demonstrate the glory of the Lord, but also to be an instrument by which God's grace was proclaimed to men of every nation. Israel was to be a blessing, weren't they, to the rest of the world. Now we know that Israel, in their period of great blessing, they became somewhat looked down on the rest of the world, I think we might be able to say. To them, they were worthy of God's blessings, but the Gentiles were not. Like Jonah, they refused to take the good news to the Gentiles. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles whatsoever, and he didn't treat them, really treated them like they were animals, so to speak. So in response to Israel's persistent rebellion, and according to God's purpose, God sent his son to do individually what Israelites could not do on their own or as a nation. And I don't know if you ever thought of it that way, but there's a passage in Exodus 4:22. Moses was speaking to Pharaoh, and he said, "This is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. So Israel was called by God to be his son. Though the nation of Israel proclaimed to be God's son, the Messiah was sent to become the Son of God. And he was to take the place of what Israel was supposed to be. And so it is in Isaiah's prophecy that the promised seed, the Messiah, becomes God's servant in Israel's place. And that's our topic this morning, is the birth of Jesus and the impact that had on the rest of the world. I'm going to be reading some passages out of the Old Testament that prophesied about this seed, this great son. And if you would, if you get your Bibles out and be ready, I may ask some of you to help with some of this reading. I'm going to start out in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, but I might have somebody have their finger on Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and I've got some scripture there. Isaiah 11, verse 1 through 5, we may have somebody help us with that. So let's start out in Isaiah 9 and 1 and 2. It says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee and the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan." Now, I want you to, we're going to focus on that particular phrase right there a little bit later on. But in the future, he will honor Galilee and the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Okay, let me read verse 6 and 7. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing of holiness with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Okay? Somebody is going to read Isaiah 11, verse 1 through 5.
"There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of this earth. For he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist."
No, I just asked you for 1 and 5. That's my bad. In that same chapter, verse 10 through 12, it says, "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nation will rally around him. His place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elon, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exile of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth." Well, there's many prophecies, and we don't have time to even hardly touch upon them. But there's many in the Old Testament prophesying about this seed that was to come from this woman that we read about way back when we started this study. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, it talks about the seed of a woman will come along and will bless the whole world. All right? So the prophecies that I just read in chapter 9 and 11, there's some things that I want to focus on that we can read about that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And I want you, as you read these things, I want you to think about the impact of Jesus' birth that brought about changes that would occur and, like I say, impact the whole world. Okay? Chapter 9, verse 11. There's like 6 points I want to pull out from that those readings that we just had. The first one is, it says, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. I picked this one out because I thought, well, this is kind of interesting to think about, because we know that a lot of the work that Jesus did was in the region of Galilee. But what else do you know about Galilee? When you think about what did the Jewish nation think about the people of Galilee? They thought they had. That's a good way to say it. They really thought they were trash. And I don't know if you thought about that. Why did they think of them like that? Well, the region of Galilee represented an area of Israel where many pagans were not driven out of the land. And if you look at Judges 1, chapter 1, verse 30 through 35, you can read about these people that were not driven out. And there was a comment made by the commentator Barnes that I'd like to share with you. He said this about the situation. He said, they were representatives, talking about these people of Galilee, they were represented as walking in darkness because they were far from the capital, from the temple. They had few religious privileges. They were intermingled with pagans and were comparatively rude and uncultivated in their manners and in their language. And do you remember when, in the beginning, when Jesus first came on the scene and Philip saw Jesus and was excited and went to his brother Nathanael? Do you remember the response that Nathanael gave him? Very good. John chapter 1, verse 46. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? So that pretty much gives you the attitude that people had toward this place. All right, so I thought that was an interesting thing to consider. Is that Jesus went to the place that had the least amount of influence, you might say, in the Jewish nation. Okay, I want to look at this phrase where he says, for us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He says, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. I would like somebody to read Luke 1, 26 through 33, if you would, please. Luke 1, 26 through 33. And then, if I could have somebody turn to John chapter 1, verse 32 through 34. John 1, 32 through 34. And we'll start out with the passage in Luke 1, 26 through 33. Put a finger on which kingdom has earthly king was that lasted the longest. Never looked that up, never thought about it. But when you think about the powerful kingdoms that have existed, how does that compare to a kingdom that lasts forever? No comparison, is it? No comparison. All right, how about the passage in John chapter 1, verse 32 through 34?
And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.
Okay. So here we have fulfilled the things that we just read about in chapter 9, the things that were prophesied about this child that was to come. All right? Here's another thing I wanted to focus on. This particular phrase, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Somebody turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. We'll have you read verse 2 through 6. Okay, go ahead. Oh, the one that was from was 9 and, excuse me here. I said 9. That's the one from chapter 11. 11 and 4. But with the righteous, he will judge the needy, with justice, that's what's coming up on this one that we're talking about. Are you talking about the one that we just talked about?
I was trying to figure out who's from chapter 9 or chapter 11.
Okay, yeah. The one that we're looking at is chapter 11 through 4, where it talks about he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. And so, do we have somebody to read this passage? When you think about the Jewish religion, when you think about the leaders of the people, was the poor ever catered to? Well, it might have been some, but generally speaking, I think the poor have always been looked down on. And when you think about the sins of Israel, and some of the things that they did that caused God to curse them, think about how they treated the poor. They stole their land from them, and they did all kinds of things to the poor, took advantage of the poor people. But you notice that Jesus is not going to allow that to happen in his kingdom. He's going to give justice to the poor. As we read this scripture, the disciples of John went back to him in prison and told him exactly what they saw was happening. All right, I want to go to another point that we looked at a while ago in the 9th and 11th chapter of Isaiah. What does it mean that he will reach out his hand a second time and assemble the scattered people? What do you think that means? That he will second time and assemble the scattered people. What's that? Well, that would be part of it. We have been studying the Book of Kings in the different kings in our Wednesday night study, and we know that was a time period with lots of turmoil. We looked at the divided kingdoms and all that sort of thing, and we realized that they became so wicked. What happened to the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom? They were what? Yeah, and they were. In what way were they spread across the entire known world? Okay, they were taken in as captivity. Taken as slaves. The northern kingdom was. What happened to the northern kingdom? Well, it was scattered all over the world. When the Syrians took the northern kingdom, what did they do with the people? Well, their philosophy was, we're not going to let them stay where they were and let them worship the way they worship. We're going to scatter them out and make them worship like other people worship. The Babylonian kingdom, when they took Israel, they took the people, took them out of their homestead, with the exception of a few poor people, and took them to Babylon. Okay, or took them to their country. Okay. I don't know if they actually went to the city of Babylon, but took them to their country. And they stayed there how many years? They stayed there for 70 years. So they were scattered all over everywhere. Well, did they ever get to return? Yes, there was a handful that came under the leadership of Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah. There were some that returned back. But a lot of them didn't even come back. They just stayed. They just stayed, and I guess they got comfortable. They got comfortable with where they were. Okay? So, we don't want to forget what Moses told the people before he died. Here's what he said. When he told the people before he died, I think I have that. Maybe I didn't have that. It's in Deuteronomy, though. It's in the last part of Deuteronomy, and he basically told them that that's exactly what would happen to them. Okay, that they would. Let me see if I can. I think it's Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. He specifically told them exactly that they would just be scattered and forgotten. Around what verse? 28 what?
58.
28 to 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, if you may fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you, your descendants, extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. You bring back the distress and the disease of Egypt. We're going to kind of skip through here. See the verse of it. What's that? Okay. Then the Lord will scatter you among all the people, from one end of the earth to the other. There you shall serve other gods with which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. Among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Okay, and I'll just put that. So they were told what would happen to them, and that's exactly what happened. Thank you for find that for me. This second coming, though, when he says second time to assemble the scattered people, I think that the first time, I think that's where I messed up. I had my page over top of the other one. The first time was when they came back to Israel under the direction of Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and Ezra. But what would be the second time? I think the second time refers to the coming of Jesus. That would be the second and last time. If the coming would be the coming of the Messiah. Is there any other opportunities after this one? No.
Yes, the offer never ends.
But the offer never ends.
The offer never ends. And that's what you're always welcome back.
That's what's unique is that we can always come back to the Lord as long as we do His will and we have a repenting heart. He allows us to come back. That's a very good point. And there's no guarantee, is there? I'm saying, how many people do you know that think, well, I know, and I do know I can come back, and I will someday, and how does sin work? How does that work?
That's self-deceit. The truth of the matter is when Satan takes you over completely, almost no one ever comes back. It doesn't mean no one ever does, but almost.
Yeah. Isaiah 11, chapter verse 1 says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his root a branch will bear fruit. Why do you think it was described as a shoot coming up out of a stump? When you think of a stump, what do you think of?
Death.
What?
Death.
Death, yeah. And, of course, we know that David was made very many promises, but what happened to his sons, and on as you follow the trail down to Jesus, it was all but dead, wasn't it? It was dead, you could say. It was dead. But this little shoot, well, what happens when you cut a stump off, or cut a tree off? You have this old dead stump, but sometimes you have these little shoots that come out from the roots that are still give a shimmer of life, you might say. And that shoot is Jesus that is going to grow up and bear fruit. Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So, that's just a handful of prophecies that were made and were fulfilled. What other way has the world been impacted by the birth of Jesus? When you think about the impact that his birth had, what can you think of that we haven't mentioned. Is what? Not enough time. The fields are white for harvest, but there's not many workers here. Yeah, it's one country. Now, this is one country compared to the rest of the world. Wow.
Our problem is worse than that. Just walk out the door. There are too many false gods out there that can attract our new people. See, life is just too easy. It's very easy to be deceived and fall for the wrong path. And we started at a very young age.
Yeah. So how is the birth of Christ impacted these kinds of things? Well, I started jotting down some things. I'm talking about from the very beginning when he was first born. We know that his birth impacted hundreds of male babies, don't we? There were hundreds of male babies that were killed by Herod because he was a jealous king. He wanted to be the only king. And when he heard that this king was coming along, he thought, well, I'll fix that. He got tricked by the wise men that went back a different direction, didn't come back and tell him where they were, and so made him angry, and he using a shotgun approach, you might say, he killed, we don't have a figure, but in my mind it must have been hundreds of babies that were, what was it, 2 years and under? Okay. Find that in Matthew 2nd chapter verse 16 through 18. The prophecy found in Isaiah 6, 1 and 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord." So, in this way, when Jesus was born, the downtrodden, and there's lots of downtrodden people, the downtrodden were given a hope like nothing they'd ever had. So in this way, the birth of Jesus has impacted the world. It has given those that are downtrodden a great hope that was never present before. I had a thought. Truth and wisdom enters the world like nothing had ever been there before, right? No one had ever experienced this like the truth and wisdom that Jesus brought. You remember the temple guards were sent to arrest Jesus, but they returned empty-handed, and the people were sent out and said, well, where's he at? Why did you bring him? And what was their answer? What's that? That's in John chapter 7, verse 46. No one ever spoke this way. This man does. And not only them, but all the people were impressed with Jesus, weren't they? There was just something about him. Well, guess what? He's the Son of God. He's your Creator. Why wouldn't he be different?
Look at and say, let's make something great.
because Jesus was the last blood sacrifice to be offered to atone for the sins of the disobedient, to be the sacrifice for his followers, because we know there's a lot of people that could care less about God. But think about how many countless animals were spared from becoming blood sacrifices when Jesus came. So that had an impact on the world also. Okay. If we go back to the first sin committed by Adam and Eve, we realize that mankind was separated from God and destined to die physically and spiritually. Satan successfully brought a curse on mankind. Nevertheless, God promised that from the seed of a woman would come one who would bring about man's deliverance and Satan's destruction. And of course, that seed is Jesus Christ. His death on Calvary defeated Satan fully and accomplished the salvation of all who believe in him. That will be our topic next Lord Day, if Lord wills.